へようこそ。ゲームとゲーマーライフについて日本からポッドキャストでお届けいたします。
And welcome back to Wide Awake Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Wayne.
I'm Lyle.
Yujiro.
We're back for part two of Campaign Confessions Vampire, which was Lyle's recent vampire game in Detroit. So tell us, Lyle, what inspired you to do Vampire?
Well, as I said in the previous episode, I'm a big fan of the setting and the system. And just little things that I put together. I read a series of short stories called an anthology called Under the Fang, which is a bit uneven. Some stories are really good, some stories less so. And in one story, there was a scene, it's when vampires kind of take over the world. It's kind of the premise of all these short stories. And there was one story where the humans have these blood matches, and they fight for the privilege of getting, in vampire parlance, embraced or turned into a vampire. And one of them gets maimed in the process of this fight. And I thought, oh, that would be interesting, because this person's going to get turned into a vampire, but they'll be maimed quite severely. So how is that going to affect them? You know, what's their life going to be as a vampire? Not only do they have to become a vampire, but they're also going to be missing certain key parts.
I was going to say, because we didn't touch on this in setting, but whatever state you were in when you were changed into a vampire, embraced, that's the state you stay in for the rest of eternity.
Right, so somebody cuts off your arm, you're going to be a one-armed vampire.
Yeah.
It's not going to grow back. So watching that, I thought, that's really good. I want to tell that vampire's story. And then also just little things such as Near Dark. A big fan of the movie Near Dark, which is kind of a more modern telling of the vampire legend.
Yeah.
There's one scene where the protagonist, Caleb, is with a female vampire, his love interest. And she kind of points to the sky and says, if you look at those stars, you know, I'll still be around when the light that's leaving those stars right now reaches the Earth. And I thought, that's going to be... I mean, that would really change how you view things, because you have a very vested interest in staying around, but also keeping the world around by that time, whereas we have a very short time span. We're not as affected by stuff like that. So combining those two things, telling that vampire story and having these immortal beings interacting, I just wanted to see, hey, let's run a vampire. So I decided, I was looking at the Time magazine, and it showed Detroit. I think these French photographers went through Detroit. Basically, it looked like a war zone. So I thought it was quite an original idea. Turns out, completely not. A lot of other people have thought, oh, Detroit makes an excellent setting for vampire. I thought it was very original.
Yeah.
I was very mistaken.
If you weren't influenced by other people doing it, then it kind of was original.
Well, thanks, Wayne. So I thought, well, I definitely got to be set in Detroit. And I'd never been to Detroit, so I did some research. And then I thought, oh, it would be kind of neat. So there's the greater Detroit area of all these different, which includes Windsor, which is in Canada. And I thought, well, it'd be neat to make a little fiefdom where the person that's kind of the prince of Detroit, or the prince of Wayne County, is actually the prince among princes. And that he would control all the princes in the surrounding counties. So that's how maybe the Detroit setting's a little bit different than the standard setting, where it's only just the one city.
Yeah.
But this, I thought that would give the players a little bit more to play in, although you guys never actually went outside of there.
Well, no, I think we were busy doing other stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, that just goes, looking at those pictures on Time magazine, I thought that was kind of the inspiration. I want to tell a vampire story where it's set in Detroit, and it's very grim, and Detroit has things like a Hell Night, which is the day before Halloween, where there's a lot of vandalism and fire, and I thought that would be that's perfect for Vampire, can incorporate that. So basically sold you guys on the idea of doing that, and decided to run a mystery,
kind
of a murder mystery, except there's a lot of murders.
Yeah.
And to go from
murders
there.
Mystery.
Murders mystery.
Cool.
So that those are the inspiration, is basically Near Dark and this one short story and thing, Under the Fang.
Yeah.
So how'd you guys, after I kind of got you on board to playing Vampire, how'd you get in the mood when you made your characters? So Yujiro, what was your character?
I was the vampire psychiatrist.
I don't think people heard you.
So vampire psychiatrist.
Yep.
Right. Who's part of, which clan, which covenant?
Ordo Dracul.
Mm-hmm.
With the covenant and what clan?
Client, was it Miquette?
Yeah. Miquette. Why a vampire?
He seems like a really deep character so far.
I actually really like the idea that you were a psychiatrist, not just a psychiatrist who happens to be a vampire, but a psychiatrist for other vampires. Not to disrespect Chris and Wayne, but perhaps the most original concept I've heard. Certainly more original than I would have come up with. So what sparked that?
The humanity mechanic, really. I just kind of wanted to see what it would be like to have this really, like, kind of, I don't know, decent person. See what happens when they get turned into a vampire and how they would try to retain their humanity. So that's kind of what I wanted to do. Play. Didn't really work out.
I guess that could have kind of been anything, though. Why the psychiatrist?
Well, he could have been a priest, but I guess I like psychology. That's it.
Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah. So, Chris, can you tell us about your character and what you did to get into the mood?
Sure. My character was an asshole.
We all were.
Not a lot of role-playing there, huh?
My character was an investigator, kind of based him off like a 70s cop kind of idea, handlebar mustache.
With a porn mustache.
Yep,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Leather jacket, that kind of thing. And, actually, I played him as a really gruff kind of like 70s TV cop.
By the book. I thought the picture you chose was really good. All the players chose an actual photograph of
someone
mm-hmm. to represent the character, and, as well as all the key NPCs, with some exceptions, had a photograph. Mm-hmm. So, but you've chose Colin Farrell,
yes,
from the Miami Vice movie,
yes.
And I thought that was. it was very good.
It was great. My girlfriend found that picture laying around. Are you gay? What's with this picture? But
yeah, you got that for your picture.
So that's what I played.
And where did the inspiration for that
come
from?
Sorry. Thank you. The last game I played before jumping into the vampire game had been a long time before that, and I played kind of an investigator-ish character.
Right.
And I really enjoyed that role, so since it had been a long time since I played again, I just figured I'd try to do something like that again.
So you weren't, sorry, not to interrupt, you weren't a private investigator, you were actually part of the police force at one time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as a vampire as well, as part of the...
LA? LAPD?
Sacramento, but yes.
Okay.
And not important, really, though.
Okay.
And as a vampire, I was part of the Invictus security forces, I think they were called.
Yeah, we kind of created that for the specifically for our campaign is that you would be this roving security, basically troubleshooter.
Yeah,
an investigative troubleshooter, mm-hmm. and that allowed you to keep your California background, but then you could also play the outsider coming in. To the Detroit world, which was strictly controlled by this particular prince.
Yeah, which was a good suggestion of yours, because it was my first time playing vampire, so it was good not to play a total character.
Insider. Yeah.
So,
what clan were you? You were...
Miquette. Yes. But, I think I didn't really play the clan, I played more the Covenant aspect of it, so...
Yeah, it's fine, as we covered in the last episode, if people have that choice. Mm-hmm. How about you, Wayne?
the character I like. What? I haven't even gotten to. I haven't said anything yet. People already chuckled. Great, thanks. The character I eventually settled on playing was a Deva, who, as Lila said, he thought was the weakest clan, but whatever.
Weak is in flavor.
Yeah, flavor. Yeah. And I my character wasn't part of any covenant,
right.
So no political faction. So. Unbound, I guess. And I played a club DJ. I guess a fairly young club DJ.
And you forgot hot.
Okay.
Androgynous.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the picture I chose, I think, is actually some debate of what gender the picture actually is.
I think we actually decided...
I think it actually is a woman.
Today, because you brought your pictures
of
both your character and your herd.
Yeah.
basically the people you feed on. And, we pretty much determined that the picture you chose is a woman.
Yeah, it's either a beautiful man or a jolly chick.
But it had us going for about a year. We were uncertain whether it was a man or a woman.
Yeah.
But you were going for that, for a real androgynously pretty
pretty because person. I built the sort of, very charismatic... I purchased the traits that sort of... The attractive traits. And they actually say you kind of look angelic and...
Yeah.
So...
Oh yeah, you took we called it the merits called striking looks.
Yeah.
And you took it to the max.
Yes.
So you were very striking.
Yeah.
Now you had said previously that you weren't that into vampire.
Yeah.
But you've definitely become
Vampire's biggest fan.
Yeah. Vampire's biggest fan. What sparked that?
Because
it was before you actually played the game, so yeah, I can't take any credit.
I think you lent me Near Dark.
Right.
And I watched it, and unlike some other people, and it's an 80s movie. I think the ending's a little bit weak.
No, we won't spoil it.
You won't spoil it. The ending's a little bit weak, but I thought it was a pretty good movie. I don't know, kind of puts you in the vampire mood, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that mainly that's what did it, and then after playing the first session, I was like, wow, that I really like that. So
okay.
Hard to say what flipped that switch.
I wish I'd watched New Dark.
Yeah, you were off, right?
Yeah, you were.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, you never watched it?
Oh, sorry, but Yujiro had it for my copy 6 months, not watching it. So
I'm bad about watching movies, but... But I think I went...
Have you read those Green Lantern comics I lent you?
No.
All right.
Surprised?
Next to the bedstand, though.
actually, they're holding up... Actually, they're wedged under the one short leg of his nightstand, you know? Sorry, what were you going to say?
That I wish I'd seen Near Dark, because I definitely went into this game not in the vampire mood, suppose.
Actually, the way you described your character... I thought you'd be right well into the game, because it's very much like Near Dark formed a big inspiration for me, for Wayne as well, and your character, you could just imagine like the Bill Paxton guy being your character.
Maybe personality-wise.
I'll
say none of the characters in Near Dark inspired my character. My character was actually inspired by the Blade movie. The first one.
Okay.
The opening scene where the vampire chick lures the human guy to the club, and Blade rescues him from this vampire club. I said, you know what? What would happen if that guy didn't get rescued? What happens if he got turned into a vampire? And I kind of went with that, which is probably why I hit on the whole club DJ thing, because they do go to a vampire DJ club. Because
that was not your original concept.
No, that was not
my original concept.
Your original concept was very different.
Right. And then I had to like scramble
sorry, I feel bad about that, but
because you were going to be the outsider, right. And then Wayne's character was going to be the ultimate insider,
yep.
And he was going to basically be your liaison while you did this investigation. Then he changed to this club DJ, and then I had to change how you guys were going to get together.
It made him the suspect,
right?
I didn't tell Wayne. I liked that. Did he tell you?
I don't remember.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
So Chris's character knew he was coming in to investigate somebody who was killing some vampires and people, and tried to find out who this person was, whether or not it was a vampire or a person or a human. And he was called to the meeting, as well as your character. And your character had no explanation why you're being called to this high level meeting. And basically, it was revealed at the meeting that you need to solve the murders, Chris's character, and here's your first suspect. Wayne's character.
Primary suspect. Here's suspect number one, Wayne's character.
Wayne's character.
And I think I should have bricked when you said that. I was like, what? Holy... But at the same time, I loved that opening. It was like, oh my god.
So basically, you were thrown in together. And I should say, Yujiro's character came in later in the story. Maybe less seamless. But that was definitely a case study in... Before a story starts, if you know who they are, you can work in, but it's a lot harder to incorporate people as the story goes along.
Yeah.
And then you went from there.
Yeah.
So I just like that. What did you particularly like about the campaign?
I liked my sire. I thought that was pretty good.
Okay.
And you've said that you're probably going to pick up Vampire again after your noir game, because you want to put more elements of noir into Vampire. And... I think you've done a pretty good job, at least with some of the characters, already making them noir, because the person who sort of embraced my character as a vampire, created me as a vampire, is a very femme fatale character.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
And I kind of didn't realize that until today, because like throughout the story, everybody's telling my character what a complete and utter like heartless killer this person is, and my character has sort of never seen that side of her, and is trying to convince people otherwise. But then through the story, you know, things are happening. Like, she's, like, skipped out on me several times. So I'm kind of in the dark as to what her true motivations are. Is she screwing me over or is she not? I don't know. And that's a very noir thing. And
I gotta say, you played her so well, too. What a great NPC.
Yeah,
really. Yeah, that's the...
You are such a little man.
Yeah, so she's... her background is she's originally from Mexico.
But Dominican?
No, sorry, that's
that was the actress he was trying to emulate.
Ah, I see.
I think the actress is actually... Her name Daniela Alonza. Mm-hmm. Alonzo. She did a... I think she's from America.
So, oh, okay.
But she had a role in Friday Night Lights. Big fan of that, as I've said before. She played somebody from Guatemala.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
So that's where I got both the picture and the accent from that.
But
the actual backstory is that she's from Mexico.
I see.
And she's one of those vampires that they call like nomads, where they roam from city to city.
Mm-hmm.
And when she embraced Wayne a couple years ago, in the story time, and had a very, as Wayne described when he was telling me about the background, very, very loving relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So what is a true love? And then as the story unfolds, he finds out, well...
Yeah, she's done a lot of bad stuff.
She's not very monogamous.
Yeah.
She's done a lot of bad stuff, so people have very different opinions of her. Because some of the other NPCs have very positive opinions, telling how she helped them
escape.
Or actually, you found out she helps somebody escape.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people absolutely hate her.
Yeah, yeah. So I think you're doing a pretty good job. Like, is she good? Is she bad? I don't know. As a character and as a player. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very noir. And I like that.
Okay.
Got to say, the picture you chose and the personality you chose wouldn't have been my first choice.
Oh, okay.
But it grew on me a lot, which sounds kind of creepy. Since
I
playing her.
I personally think that she's quite attractive.
She definitely is.
Yeah. I don't really know why I picked that she was originally from Mexico. Maybe just it was just that it create a little diversity among the NPCs.
I actually thought about trying to...
Maybe because so I could really do an accent that's... Here's a tip.
Don't do an accent that you can't do.
Well, which I've never learned that lesson, so I'm not going to give that advice. But I suppose when you're doing a female NPC or female character, make them from someplace else, because then you can just do that accent.
Mm-hmm.
And then it helps the people to get into, it's not Lyle or Chris speaking, it's the NPC speaking, and you don't have to do, again, like the false falsetto.
Yeah, that's a good
which
point.
Can get a bit ridiculous.
It was just weird, yeah.
If you do a false falsetto and try to do your accent, but a female version of it,
mm-hmm.
it's better
be
just
difficult.
To give them, make them from the South, or make them from, even if you make them a valley girl or something like that, where you're just changing the dialect or the accent
you
as opposed
such
to...
a little man.
Yeah, not to go off on a tangent, but yeah, it is kind of hard to do female NPCs, as I've known in Changeling, because I just kind of use my regular voice, and many times people can't tell who's talking. So if I had given people an accent, it would have been easier to differentiate, but anyway.
Your Lucky Charms leprechaun was pretty good, though.
Yeah, but he wasn't a woman, that's my point.
Different game, anyway. I liked how how the NPCs progressed along with my guy in the story,
mm-hmm.
in that everyone was very surprised, myself included, to find that my character was very by the book, even though he was modeled after a 70s cop.
He got a nickname, By the Book Brook.
His name was Jack Brook, by the way. But because of that, like there was when I was following the rules of the security group and working very closely with them, like I got into the group. They started sharing more information, and we got a more relaxed kind of a repertoire between us, mm-hmm. and it was very realistic, so I thought that was great.
I'll say this, and not to jump into things didn't like, I don't think I did an amazing job prepping you
mm-hmm.
for the campaign, and that you became, I didn't emphasize that you are actually going to be an outsider, and mm-hmm. people aren't going to necessarily like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you were a little bit surprised, as you were being sent by the Invictus to solve this mystery.
And the Prince was Invictus.
And yeah, the prince is Invictus. Yeah. The major sheriff is Invictus. The majority of the clan, the majority of the princes around in the surrounding area were Invictus.
Power circle,
So they were definitely mm-hmm. in power,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't too. They were treating you as an outsider, even though you shared the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't kind of prep. It's like you were still kind of intruding on this person's mm-hmm. space and his princedom.
Yeah.
So kind of, I felt a little bit bad about that. Oh, but then you started to push and became an insider and
mm-hmm.
figured out how you were going to work and not work with the NPCs. So that was really good.
Oh, I guess it's my turn.
Unless you just didn't like anything about it.
No, I liked a lot of things, actually. I'm just trying to figure out which one
to start with.
Yeah.
The one you like the most, maybe?
uh, I guess I really like the dark shit. I mean, the...
Well, I guess it's a good thing we're playing that? World of Darkness, then.
Oh, I thought you said dog shit.
Oh, jeez.
Not a joke.
Well, like, there's this one scene that we were at this lodge that belonged to some sick pedophile, and there was the kiddie porn and the...
Vampire pedophile.
Vampire kiddie porn.
Oh, yeah, and all this, like, rape and genital mutilation and, like, torture, and I thought it just really, like, wow, just hammered in the whole world of darkness setting into, you know.
Yeah, it was pretty dark.
Yeah, it was pretty dark. Oh, although...
That's why vampires can't see in the dark, with all the bad shit that's hiding in the shadows, right?
Even we don't want to see that. Yeah.
It's like, I'm a vampire, but not even I want to see that shit.
Yeah, that's one thing, is just trying to... I mean, obviously, you're all monsters. You're all vampires who feed on people. But you had already decided that some of you were going to be very humane. Mm. Both Yujiro and Wayne chose very humane characters.
Mine was actually a mistake, but I played it.
Playing really well. And Chris less so.
Yeah. I downgraded my humanity.
Can I just tell that story? Because I thought that was a very funny story.
All right,
So the first time Chris tries to feed from someone, he decides to feed from, what, just some, like, kind of random gang.
Yeah, some, like, gangbangers hanging out on the corner. Yeah.
So he pretends to be drunk. His character pretends to be drunk and saunters by them and starts to pick a fight, then proceeds to walk into the alley where he attempts to ambush them, to feed from them. And I think after he got his ass handed to him, but eventually prevailed.
Eventually prevailed.
Lyle said, okay, make a humanity roll.
And Chris, humanity 8.
Yeah, humanity. And he's like, what? Why do I gotta make a humanity roll? And we're like, dude, you just lured 3 people into an ambush so that you could feed from them. You provoked them. He's like, well, but they beat me up. And he's like, because you led them to that option. Yeah. So, yeah, voluntary humanity lowering.
Yeah.
Down to what, 6?
Actually, yeah. No, I took down to 7.
7?
Jeez.
Yeah. That's still a bit much for 7.
So Chris said, F that. Pretty much. I'll just drop my humanity down.
Yeah, exactly. Well, whereas for Yujiro, I was a very, humanity again. Like,
I think I had a different idea of what humanity was, or what humanity 8 was.
And in all fairness, it was new to him. But it was pretty funny, the amount of, or the lack of contemplation you put into downgrading that humanity. As opposed to Wayne, he was like, oh, really? Oh, I guess I'll roll with this and see what happens. Whereas you're like, I'll just downgrade that. Awful good.
Where do I spend these extra points I got? Can I put them in brawl? Because I got fucked up. I was going to say, I like that. I think the first time it kind of got hammered home for me, the whole kind of trying to living with being a monster.
I just realized I never finished my point. Anyway, go on.
Is we went to a party.
After how many minutes? Yeah. Jesus.
So our characters went to a party shortly after we met. And the refreshments for Vampire were essentially people walking around with stainless steel IVs in them. And they were providing the refreshment with their own blood.
Right.
And...
And they're also some of them were drunk. Some of them were on drugs.
Yep.
And that was color coded.
I like that they all wore a color coded armband, and we didn't know what the colors were. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's a party. You know what? I don't really agree with maybe what they're doing, but I want to blend in. So I grabbed the cup, and Lyle said, "Okay, make a humanity roll because you're essentially condoning what these vampires are doing." And I said, "Wow."
Well, I mean. It was pretty inhumane.
Pretty horrible. Yeah, exactly. And then,
the point I was making, is that you're all...
Pretty humane.
You're all monsters, but you chose to play fairly humane monsters. Hmm. So just to show you that there are different levels of predator. You're all predators, but some predators are more predator than others.
Hence the vampire kitty porn and vampire stuff.
But also that was to lead to the divided the campaign into seasons. Mm-hmm. So we actually finished season 1. Mm-hmm. And the end of season 1 was going to be the big reveal, who is the murderer. Mm-hmm. But I wanted that reveal to be people to be kind of torn, because he's actually it was a he. The murderer was a vampire who was killing
the horrible people.
Horrible people. Mm-hmm. And you find out that he's very protective of the children within the neighborhood and that. So it was to provide a bit of dilemma for you.
Yeah.
Do you turn this guy in, or do you try to protect this guy? Because, you know, you would say, oh, he's, on the one hand, what he's doing is horrible. On the other hand, he's eliminating people who are, horrible people. Yeah. And I should point out that the mutilated boxer that I got from the short story, the story we were telling is that that person, he mm-hmm. was the murderer.
Yeah.
And he was horribly mutilated.
And so you said before that most of the major NPCs had pictures. He did not, because there wouldn't be a... Basically, the picture would be too gruesome.
It would be too gruesome, but also just to let people
imagine
what he looked like. So none of the he was Deva, mm-hmm. But he would just happened to be heavily scarred. And none of the Nosferatu I chose pictures for as well. It's one thing is very hard. Mm-hmm. You would be basically pulling from the vampire book, and as opposed to like real pictures.
Right.
But also just so people can let their imaginations do the work for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So trying to describe how horribly maimed he is. I mean, he was a man, but that was all left unsaid.
Yeah.
Although it had to be quite overt at one point for Chris.
And understood as well.
But anyway, no, it was definitely kind of a moral dilemma at the end of
it. Yeah. Character became quite... You had somewhat of an attachment to him, but we decided to strengthen that.
Yeah.
Because you kind of worked in the same club. He was one of the bouncers. And...
Yeah, I think
you were the DJ, you showed a lot of concern trying to warn these other NPCs that there's a murderer around. It's not me.
Yeah,
be careful because this murderer is killing Deva.
I think that's what because I
and
just
I thought well, that'd be really good to strengthen that bond between you and the guy who actually was the murderer.
Yeah.
And you're warning the murderer about the murderer, so he's like, oh, you're a good person.
Yeah, I think that's because, as you said in the setting one, sort of clan is your family,
yeah.
and covenant is your political affiliation. Because the type of character I had made, I said, he's not political at all.
Yeah.
He kind of only cares about himself. So by that kind of, my family, sort of other Deva, became really important to me.
Right.
And I said, hey, you know, this guy's Deva. A few of the other people at the club were Deva. Holy crap, all these Deva are getting killed off by this guy. We're getting smaller and smaller. And it was kind of a joke, you know, this big boxer guy, and I'm his kind of androgynous, you know, little shrimp.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I obviously can't do anything to help you out, but just, you know, keep your eyes open and watch your back. So I thought that was kind of, you role-played it well, it was kind of a funny situation, but...
Warning the murderer about the murderer.
Yeah, warning the murderer about the murderer who, you know, could have snapped me like a twig if you wanted to.
Yeah, one thing I liked about the way you guys played it is, and I was the analogy I use is initially when you started to play, you were kind of approaching everything like a locked door. So you would try something and you say, "Oh, the door's locked," and you would walk away from the house.
Mm-hmm.
"No, the door's locked," and I was like, "Well, why don't you try the window? Because you know your first attempt might not always work, but try the window." And then you guys got really creative in how you were going to solve things, such as pulling video from all the security cameras, and I had not anticipated that. So I had to think, well, I didn't think they would do that, and trying to...
Well, you kind of had a little bit. Not that Chris,
I did
not
for
that Chris
the security cameras in some places, near the docks, mm-hmm. but then Chris had said, well, I'm going to pull all the security cameras, including mm-hmm. this one place, mm-hmm. and I had determined that the killer had gone through that one place, but I would think, oh, yeah, I suppose there would be security cameras there. I didn't think about mm-hmm. that. So I would say that the killer didn't think about that, and that helped you unlock the clue.
Mm-hmm. Also, this for those familiar with the vampire setting, you had a house rule where you said vampires came up. Vampires were visible on film when usually they're not.
Right. I decided that for two reasons is that I really wanted to make use of discovering all these videos and that so that you could actually see the vampires. Also, I thought it would make the obfuscate power a little bit better, is that vampires who have and are actively using obfuscate can hide from the cameras, but for the most part, vampires show up on pictures mm-hmm. and on film. That was for the story.
That's not actually a part of the story. Were they mirrors as well?
I would say they show up on mirrors.
Yeah.
Tyler would need one, I'm sure.
But. Yeah. It's hard to fix your hair when you
but
can't
you
see
notice,
yourself. You know?
Yeah, that one club, there was mirrors everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have vampires walking around and they can't show up on mirrors, there's that. You know, they can't see in the dark and can't see themselves in the mirrors. But also people will be like, hey, this guy's not showing up on the mirror.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I did make that change, yeah.
Cool.
Right, so I guess we'll jump to the don't you like. What didn't you like about the campaign, you drew?
Well, it's kind of nitpicky, but I guess the way you integrated George into the party.
Oh, I knew you were going to bring that one. All right. So after you tell the story... And after you do it, how would you have done it?
Okay, yeah. So if you could just set up how you were integrated and why you didn't like that.
My character George was, I believe, just sitting in a movie theater and
watching a foreign French film, because you said you liked French films.
Actually, he didn't.
Yeah. All right, I take that back.
I have no idea why, but
yeah. All right.
I was just watching it, and what was it? You guys just came in, and...
Yeah, we walked through, because we were looking for... We needed to talk to the person who owned the
theater. Yeah. And then you guys went outside, and there were gunshots, and I was like... I thought
Lyle tried to give you some kind of a connection by saying that my character is a very humane character had contacted you because you were a psychiatrist.
Yeah, he did nothing with that.
Talk about giving a story hook and just like, what story hook?
Yeah. fair enough. I knew you were going to bring this up because you actually brought it up about 6 months after. Every time we would be alone, you'd bring up, oh, by the way, that was not the great way to incorporate me. What happened was I had a scene in my mind of you guys kind of just walking into the dark movie theater to meet this NPC that you had arranged to get information from, and I thought that would be really cool. You would kind of sit next to them, and then you kind of walk out through the exit and go to this private place. It just so happens Yujiro was going to join the story after we had set that up, so I didn't really want to change that. Mm-hmm. So I guess it was a little inflexible. And I actually didn't know what Yujiro was going to pick because he read through the book a couple hours before while we played a board game waiting for him to pick his character. So talking, and he had a really good concept of the vampire psychiatrist. So after he told me he would order Dracul, he'd be the vampire psychiatrist. And I said, okay, great. You also love foreign films. And you're going to the... I don't know if I took the easy route. And then I tried to, I'll admit, it was kind of a little ham-fisted. I said, Wayne's character was talking to possible client, so you're going to recognize him. Which you did recognize him.
And then you just sat there.
And we sat there. But, you did justify and say, well, I'm watching a movie. I'm not going to sit there. So go sit next to him and have talk, you know.
Shh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a movie.
That didn't work.
I think eventually Lyle had to say, Yujiro, George goes outside.
That cunning plan didn't work. And then there was a gunshot, and just to broaden it out, I mean, I think this gets into the... I'm of the, the school of thought is don't spend too much time trying to incorporate, put a lot of planning and trying to incorporate somebody mid-story, because, things will break down, and basically the guy is just going to have to go with it. Now, and I'll use an example from Chris, who I think did a really good job of...
He had to do it multiple times.
...setting up Tom's character, who was probably the last arrival in Dungeons & Dragons. And Tom even had, a little booklet of stuff that he could provide to the rest of the party to show his worth. And
left him.
And when we met the character in the D&D story, it was... There was a panic, and Tom's character ran into a closet. Whereas
we
jumped out the window, and Tom's character decided to run into a closet instead of following us. And then we decided to keep running. And then Chris said, "Oh, do you guys run? Did you run away?" And we're like, "Oh, okay." So we walked back.
Yeah, Tom. We didn't run away. We're actually waiting outside underneath
the
window.
Threw that bone to me. It's good.
But
I'll just point
it
out.
It kind of helped because the other game masters were in that party.
I was going to say that's exactly what I was going to say. You'll notice. The game masters in the group said, okay, we got to go back.
Yeah.
The person who hasn't game mastered a story said, I keep running. And we're like, dude, we got to turn it around and go back.
Because it is very difficult to incorporate somebody.
Yeah.
So
and
you could spend no time prepping it like I did, and it's not going to work. Or you could spend a lot of time prepping it like Chris did,
and it's not going to work.
I opted for the easy move. It even got to the point where when Tom's character was incorporated...
Mm-hmm. That was really well done.
I liked that.
Yeah. That was really
But it was pretty much...
But it started out as a joke.
Yeah, I said they were in a motel room all settled in, and I wasn't getting any information about what Tom was going to play, so I said, F it. he's in the hotel room next year. Yeah. I don't care.
I kind of thought that was a joke, and so next session, no, he was in the hotel room.
Well, then I have to think, so he's in the motel room next to you. Why would you guys go to the next motel room? So, because you heard screams and basically decided to make... and also Tom didn't know anything about the vampire system. And we didn't have time to prep him. I wasn't given time to prep him.
Yeah, it's not your fault. I dumped him on you.
Yeah, so I just said, okay, not only Are you just going to be kind of thrown in there? Like, your character's going to be thrown in there. This is your first night as a vampire. Mm-hmm. You embrace the previous night. And then that could basically explain why he knew nothing about being a vampire.
Which is a great way to
And allowed you guys to basically kind of take him under your wing, because you kind of feel sorry for the guy.
Yeah.
And then explain things as they went along.
All of our characters are kind of established.
Sorry, go on.
All of our characters are kind of established. Some less so than others. I was only about, like, 2 years old. Chris was, like...
I guess in Dungeons and Dragons, though, you couldn't... Oh, do you mean in hindsight with Vampire?
With Vampire, yeah. Oh, okay. I wish I started as a newly embraced vampire.
Oh, really? Even Tom is a newly... I'm tiefling. What's going on? This is a fantasy world. What is this?
Magic? What's that?
You're a wizard. You should be able to cast spells. Yeah, and I guess so. And I did say with your guy, and that was one thing, is you were confused how much you should or shouldn't know. And I guess, again, I had said, you know what's in the main book. Mm-hmm. So I didn't restrict anything in the main book, and yeah. I think you still didn't know what you could or couldn't read.
I think there was, I think because there's a bit of a disconnect between what you see in a movie as a vampire and yeah. what this game is as a vampire, yeah. I think for it, almost I'd give that advice. Anybody who's going to start somebody on the vampire campaign, start them as a noob. Someone who's just been embraced. Because I think it just would help them introduce them to the world better.
Also, yeah, if they're not familiar with the system, I think none of us were, and I actually was a little bit confused at first, but I think for a different reason. Because usually when I come up with a setting, or I run a game,
yeah.
the setting is, for lack of a better term, kind of set, right? And I guess I was a little bit confused in that, Lyle, you were allowing us to throw stuff out.
Like you're more fluid. Yeah,
you're definitely more fluid, which I appreciate. And
which
I,
is
I'm
fine
to
if I had
more.
Articulated that better in the beginning.
But I guess, yeah. fair enough, but you would ask questions like, well, we would say, do I know this? And your answer would be like, well, do you know that? Or how much do you know? Or is that normal for you? And I think we were a little bit confused at first because we kind of expected to be told since you were the game master and this was your setting.
Yeah, things like, do I know about the existence of... The seven, or what do I know about the seven, which are, for people who don't know, they're kind of like the vampire boogeyman. Mm-hmm. Apparently they're vampires, and Vampire the Requiem has left them kind of open. What do you want to do with that? Mm-hmm. So I decided, okay, you know of the existence of the seven, but maybe I didn't articulate you know of that, but I don't know what you know about. Your yeah. character thinks about it.
Yeah, I think that's a good example, because we got confused, because one of the
And my
victims...
clues with... Were the Roman numeral seven, yeah. so the one was the ashes of the victim was put into a V, mm-hmm. and the ashes yeah. of the other two victims were put into I's.
Yeah.
And you guys were making arrows out of it.
No, Chris's character was.
Well, that's the thing, like, I realized it as a Roman numeral seven, but I didn't know about the sevens.
So oh, I see.
I didn't think anything of it.
I think what happened, it was when one of the victims was chucked through a big window, and he had a V carved on his chest,
and an eye on
either hand.
Yeah.
And as a player, I said, okay, this is somehow connected to the seven.
Right.
And then I said, does my character know about the seven? I don't know.
Well,
what's going on in the last game? I don't know.
I kind of made it like...
I played it down. Mm-hmm. I pretended my character kind of didn't know, and it was one of those things, like, looking back, I could have said, I should have done something. I guess I just wasn't sure how we were supposed to handle that.
Like the main book, it basically everybody kind of. I decided like people know about it, mm-hmm. but they don't know really what it is mm-hmm. or whether they really exist. They're kind of like the boogeyman or like an urban legend. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that could have been definitely presented better, mm-hmm. at least initially. Because what happened was, and I think it gets into a bit player dissatisfaction. Chris had designed the ultimate investigator, was getting all these clues, and then Yujiro's character came in and was like, "Oh, seven! Oh, the seven, right?" This is seven. Which kind of took away from you as when you kind of build your guy up as whatever. If you build your guy up as the ultimate firearms guy and somebody else comes in and is picking off everybody else mm-hmm. with the gun, you kind of, well, I thought that was my role. Mm-hmm. Somebody's kind of bogarting my role. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I can see that.
Well, I'll say we eventually picked up on it and we did start throwing out a lot more stuff.
Yeah, and I told you before, like, it took me a while to get used to your style of storytelling as well, which is different from the way I do things.
Right. You said that. What do you see as different?
Because
you've said it a couple times, but I've never really asked you to.
But you said it yourself as well. You're more player activated than I am. In the D&D campaign that I just ran, if there's something that the characters might be able to see, then I'll say roll a perception check, and if they see it, whatever. But in yours, you'll often wait for the players to ask, do I see something? Can I sense something here? Instead of giving them that original perception.
Yeah, I do like silent roles, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was one occasion which it really surprised me. It was at the house with the kids. We went down to the basement.
Yeah,
you described it kind of like a vampire basement scene. Yeah. And then after we kind of investigated around the place, then you said, and there's handcuffs on the wall, which I thought was a pretty big deal. Because people had been held down here, handcuffed to the wall. But it was something that we didn't notice until after, like, I'd done investigation roles about it.
Also, I
thought it was a little odd, but...
I don't know if Lyle...
Oh, I think you're talking about something else.
Okay, maybe a different place?
Yeah, a different place. You're talking about the basement, where one of the crime scenes.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, because there was the basement and one scene, kind of the club, the space.
Yeah, not to get
club.
Too confusing for the listeners, but yeah, there was one place that was pretty much like a pleasure den.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not what you're talking about.
Okay.
And
maybe where we slept.
Yeah, I might have made a mistake there.
Okay, and like not a big deal. It's just it took me a while to get used to it. So I was for the first few games, I was a pretty crap investigator because I wasn't sure you and I weren't connecting on how to work that. Which you know, it's
and I will say because that is a good example is, and you kind of give me the funny look is that you would say, okay, I check out the crime scene, and I say, okay, how?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you check out the crime scene? And I think that people who have listened to our episode on Introduction to Gaming, mm-hmm. where I say, oh, you don't have to be a doctor to, you know, play a doctor. But I really don't believe that in a sense. In that, because I've also said is do a little bit of research on being a doctor. So I also want to say, okay, what do you do when you check the crime scene? What are you looking for? Are you, you know... Are you tasting the?
Chris will never taste anything again. Yeah.
Are you tasting the ashes? Yeah. Are you using your Auspex? Mm-hmm.
But
instead of feeding you that, I'm like, oh, so what do you do? What do you do?
Mm-hmm. Which after I got used to it, is great. I really like it. And actually, that part you said about never tasting again, that was one thing. So when I was investigating one crime scene, I smelled blood, and that caused me to frenzy. And I completely
I'll just say this
scene.
Because vampires don't breathe, so you actually have to indicate. You have to say. I am breathing to smell. Yeah.
But that's something that I actually really enjoyed. I built it in my character. Like, after he destroyed a crime scene, as an investigator, like, that's it. I'm not going to attempt that again. So I stopped trying to do that sense. But I just built it in the character.
And later on in the campaign, that sense could have been quite useful.
Yeah, it bit me in the ass.
We almost died because of it.
Yeah. I mean, it made it for a better character, so I'm happy. Yeah. Maybe not a better character, but...
I also blame... Wayne.
I thought this was going to come up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What did you not like?
Sorry,
about
I actually didn't see this until you brought it up. And looking back as a player, obviously I wish I hadn't done it, but I didn't see it at the time.
Just to give a little backstory for people is basically Chris and Wayne's character disagreed on everything.
like an old married couple.
Yeah, they're like which is. It was very natural. They're kind of thrown together, and I thought it worked really well for the story, and it was quite funny.
It was always enjoyable, that's for sure.
And then when Udra was added to the mix, it didn't really help because
Udra would be completely neutral. So what you have three votes. One person votes one way, the other person votes the other way, and the third abstains. Hey. It doesn't solve anything.
Whichever, whatever. I'm easy. But the one time that you agreed with Wayne's character, and this was all done in character, is Wayne had this, because he's a very humane person, a hunter came who tried to kill him, and you guys took him down. That was a bit of a struggle. It was kind of neat. But Wayne decided, we got to drop this guy to the hospital.
Because I think what happened is a bunch of other kind of vampires kind of came out. It was implied that this guy was going to die.
Yeah, they were going to execute him.
They were
going to
execute
this guy. Definitely. Definitely.
Just like
not vampires, but the human security.
Okay.
Yeah, this person was going to die.
Yeah.
And you decided to take this person to the hospital.
I think what happened, like, I started to walk away.
How about you tell?
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
All right, sorry. I started to walk away, and Lyle, you said, that's going to be a humanity role. I said, good point. Yeah, you know what? And then I turned around, kind of, grabbed this guy and grabbed Udro's character as well, kind of as this sort of doctor, and said, we got to take him to the hospital, bundled him into the car, and drove to the local hospital. And my plan, ill-formed as it was to just dump this guy in the ER and then just hightail it out of there.
No, it wasn't like you dumped him in front of the hospital. You grabbed a doctor and said, hey, here's somebody.
yeah.
And basically dropped him off to a person, which I guess was more humane than dropping him off
Yeah, because I figured
on the sidewalk. The guy just but I mean, out, the yeah. person's looking at you, and you happen to be very good looking.
Yeah, and here's where
and very distinct, which is the downside of the striking
looks. Comes and bites me in the ass.
Right. So there was a problem, which actually Chris and probably Yudro anticipated. Oh, he now knows what you look like. And you've just dropped a guy who...
Gunshot wound.
A gunshot wound. A hunter so who actually knows about vampires. Mm-hmm. So you've dropped this guy off at a hospital without any... And he actually didn't use any of your
no, vampiric
powers to kind of mind control this doctor. So he's, okay, I'm very confused. Wait here, we'll get the cops. Mm-hmm. And you guys kind of hightailed it out of there.
Yeah.
And as a guy with a police background, you were, okay, maybe I'll go in to the precinct nearest to the hospital, mm-hmm. where the report would go to, and you know, kind of clean this up. Mm-hmm. And he said, "You're a '70s cop. You're not going to be familiar." Wayne's character said, "You're a '70s cop. You're not going to be familiar with new procedure, or people aren't going to believe the badge you show them." And you said, "Oh, maybe you're right." And what actually, and I said to Wayne later on, I said, "You actually kind of cut Chris's character off at the knees. You took his concept away from him."
Didn't mind, that's cool.
Yeah, but no, but actually I did mind, because...
It's not a matter of you mind, I mind it, goddammit.
Because I thought that would be really good, is you kind of fixing the problem in the... What would you do? Mm-hmm. And that would just be a nice, interesting side story. Mm-hmm. Because there were going to be those consequences of if you just drop a guy off who's dying. Mm-hmm. It's not like, okay, you can just hand wave that away. So right. We had to... So the first time that happened, you guys got a save in that the prince and that they use their connections. The second time it happened, and that's when Tom's character was introduced.
Yeah,
I was about to say, the second time it happened, I didn't do it again.
No, no, no. Nobody's... I guess it kind of forced it more on you in that mm-hmm. he fed on this victim. Is basically, there was going to be that story where mm-hmm. your character, Chris, was going to go in and fix it. And the prince said, go in and fix it. And then you said, started to
how?
Like, yeah, you're like, how? And all I said was, look, I'm not gonna like counter you or play a hard ass when it comes mm-hmm. to like certain laws or interstate laws. Mm-hmm. So you said, oh, I'll be FBI. Great. Kind of just come up with some sort of plausible reason why you would come in.
That was fun, actually. Yeah.
And we actually didn't finish that.
Yeah, we didn't solve it yet.
Yeah.
No.
And knowing that, I forget saying that, but absolutely I did.
Yeah.
Kind of wish I'd let Chris's character go in and solve that problem the first time, because that continued to bite me in the ass for about two or three nights of game time.
Well,
meanwhile, I'm trying
to,
like,
had a description.
Yeah,
of
they had
you.
A description of me on the
and
online.
And you refuse to, like, change your bright pink hair color.
Well, my vice is pride,
which is understandable due to your character, but it didn't help your complications.
No, it didn't.
So one of the university girls that you met and were trying to feed from said, "Hey, somebody was on the news that looks like you. Is that you?"
And like a dumbass, I said, "Oh yeah." And then it's like, "Oh crap! And by the way, you want to go out with me tonight?" "Oh yeah, not really." I'm like, "Oh, shit.
Looks not brains." Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Looks not brains. And I guess that's my only downside, is kind of how I played the character. Not how I played the character, but I still like the character concept. I'm going to keep the character.
Yeah.
But I think this was probably one of the first, like, really social games I had played. And like we said on a previous episode, I had designed him to be a social predator, and I had the stats for it, but I hadn't done that little bit of research to actually come alive. And so I believe you described some of my antics as a blimp wreck, which they which they completely were.
Slow moving.
So, yeah, slow moving. Like, oh my God, they're actually going to crash. Why don't they bail out? So,
but your antics led to some of the
best moments.
Best moments.
Absolutely,
of...
Absolutely.
Best moments ever.
trying to get a threesome together,
which I did. maybe through the grace of the storyteller,
or finding out that the person that you're going to feed from and I suppose make love to was a virgin, and whether or not you wanted to pursue that. Also finding out that a roommate was interested in you. So, and we discussed this a little bit in Art of Seduction, so I won't go too much into it. But it shows, like, a lot of, if you incorporate, like, seduction and that into a story, that it gives you a lot of... It gives you even more things that you can work with.
I think, plan to pursue that.
Yeah, things...
All four of them.
Yeah. I think some of my regrets... one was I decided to use a flash forward. Mm-hmm. I don't know... Well, I'll give credit where credit's due. Chris used flashbacks to great effect in his Dungeons & Dragons campaign. So I thought Well, I can't do a flashback because that's too obvious.
Which means I now have to do a flash sideways?
Sideways. A flash forward.
Actually, I'm going to be using a flash sideways.
Oh, God damn it. So
I went like 50 years in the future and showed you kind of like this post-apocalyptic America.
Mm-hmm.
Because something that happened in the past. Okay, mm-hmm. That doesn't sound good. Anyway, I also was going to do like a little combat, and I kind of copped out and didn't do the combat, mm-hmm. which I thought would be quite horrific,
because mm-hmm.
you would see what they did to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and another reason why I did the flash forward, not only just to steal Chris's cool ideas, was I wanted to introduce the Tsimisces into the Vampire mm-hmm. the Requiem. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm revealing anything.
Right.
But I thought it would be unfair to bring something out from a previous game, incorporate it into this game,
mm-hmm.
without kind of giving you a heads up. Because mm-hmm. basically I was changing the what's in the book.
Yeah.
So I wanted to give sufficient hints that the Tsimisces actually exist in Vampire the Requiem
mm-hmm.
and in the Detroit world.
I was going to ask, because you said just earlier about that, was it Under the Fang?
So yes.
Did you get any ideas from that? Because you said it was a point where the vampires took over the world.
No, other than maybe vampires took over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's nothing specific in Under the Fang that correlated to that. And actually the image I used when I showed you this is the hunting party comes from the movie The Road.
Okay.
And their hunting party. But basically, it was very grim and very anti-technology because, and I actually got this from the actual Vampire the Masquerade and Vampire the Requiem is, you know, humans were dangerous when they had just swords.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've got machine guns and atomic bombs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got to hide from them. So what would somebody who wants, vampires want to take over the world, what would they do is, you know, reduce the technology to a very primitive level
mm-hmm.
so they can control. And then drop hints about shapers.
Right.
And then I didn't anticipate that if I wanted you guys to be a bit confused in this flash forward.
Well, we were.
Like, what's going on? Because it was kind of, you went to sleep and then basically you all shared this dream.
Right.
And Wayne's character was suddenly catatonic.
Which I didn't put together until later on in the flash.
Yeah. But then Chris and I think Yujiro very quickly went, okay, so we're in the future. Let's find out as much stuff as possible. So let's just say we don't understand what's going on and ask a series of questions, which I should have anticipated, and I didn't. So I kind of got,
I think what happened is, like, I kind of butting heads with what was happening and saying, oh, what the hell's going on? No, I'm not doing anything until someone explains that.
Yeah.
And Yujiro and Chris were just like, let's just go with it, just go with it. And then finally, when I as a player realized, okay, I kind of know what's happening, I should have gone along with it, all of a sudden, without any communication, Chris and Yujiro switched tactics and said, okay, now give us all the information. What the hell is going on? And I'm just like...
Well, that's because we finally got alone with a character that we knew
an NPC from before.
Yeah.
So then, and I should have anticipated that you would get together with this NPC who I had created to be kind of like a mentor or a helper.
Mm-hmm.
So once you got alone with this person, you're like, oh, okay, let's tell the truth. We don't remember the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So please tell. Start at the beginning.
We'll take notes. Yeah.
All
tell
right,
us what happened the last 50 years.
Yeah, give me 50 years of history.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys got it. I decided to end the flash forward. It's like, all right, boom, you wake up.
Yeah. It's not convenient. Yeah.
And I kind of felt initially, well, they kind of didn't go with the spirit. Mm. But in all fairness, that's probably what you would have done. So I was a little disappointed with that, but I was disappointed in the things I did, not necessarily your reactions.
Yeah.
Although initially I was kind of blaming Chris a lot.
I think you shouldn't have made the most probably outspoken character the catatonic one. Because all of a sudden, like, one character says, and he talks? And my reaction was, well, what the fuck do you mean I don't talk? Of course I talk. Who the hell are you?
And you should have just made George catatonic. I mean, that would have been...
Nothing would have changed.
Well, the idea was that you were the psychiatrist, so that when... Because I would imagine that nobody wants to play a mute. Well,
you
don't mind playing mutes. I figured no one would want to...
You finally screwed with my flashback. Jerk.
Just a little background. Yujiro...
played a mute paladin.
But didn't tell Chris that he was going to play a mute paladin.
Well, I didn't.
No, he just said,
no.
Until somebody asked you a question, you said, oh, by the way, my character's mute.
Oh, okay.
And then all the other players said, well, how the hell are we supposed to figure out what's going on?
But anyway, I thought because somebody would not want to play a catatonic character,
mm-hmm.
obviously they would immediately come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So who are they going to turn to find out, hey, what's going on? The psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
And said he was catatonic. You said it was because of this. And then you basically would kind of put you on the back foot where you would have to go, well, these things happen. Obviously, there was a trigger. Because we at the time, we weren't making a lot of use of you being a psychiatrist.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, because you came about halfway through season one of Vampire, not a lot of the story had been created to incorporate you. So it was only to the latter half of season one, and then season two was built up to be about York. You were going to be one of the primary people in season two of Vampire Detroit. It was a way, a nice intro, is somehow you got all this respect as a psychiatrist.
I was going to say, one of the things I didn't like about the story, and not at all a fault of you, Lyle, I put this one squarely on Chris, was the 5 minutes. Because that was not 5 minutes in real time. You had an experiment where you were going to do...
I was 15 minutes.
15 minutes, right. You were going to do sort of real time...
Failed experiment. Yep. Failed experiment. Can I explain the failed experiment?
Yes.
I decided to... I really wanted this particular scene to be very exciting, where it all comes down to timing. So I said, all the game time is going to be real time. So 15 minutes of game time will be 15 minutes of real time. Because I just... There was a lot of different parts that could come together at a certain point, so I thought that would be more exciting. I didn't anticipate how long it takes to go up in an elevator. So basically, this experiment crashed as soon as you guys stepped in the elevator, and it's like, oh, you're on the third floor now. All right, anyway, moving back. But anyway, you were saying...
So what happened was, it's kind of like my sire, right? We found out she was above me, the primary suspect, and she had fled the city, and she contacted me saying that she was back. And Chris, as the investigator, wanted to kind of go bring her in for questioning. And he said, hey, well, you're her child. Why don't you go talk to her first? And I thought the discussion was, we'll give you 5 minutes, and then we'll come up. And I was kind of like, well, how am I supposed to, you know, just introduce people? I didn't know how I was going to get them inside her hotel room, because she had only invited me. My character goes up, knocks on the door, gets introduced. I think I said about two sentences. Well, that's what it felt like. And all of a sudden, bang, bang, bang. Sorry. Bang, bang, bang. Chris's character is knocking on the door saying, Tyler, let us in. And of course, my sire says, who the hell is that? And bolts like a deer caught in the headlights.
And that was a great scene, by the way.
looking back, yes, at the time, both as a player and a person, I was like, well, how the fuck did you expect me to accomplish that goal when you gave me what felt like two goddamn seconds? You expect me to walk in the door and say,
that explicit tag.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, my friends are coming up. Is that okay? No? Well, I don't really care, because they're here already. So, and it actually led to...
You do realize that I didn't actually want to give you the full 5 minutes, because you were more allied with her than with me. You probably would have let her escape.
I would have. I was going to.
So...
But what happened then, as a very humane vampire, right?
So you realize that 5 minutes wasn't actually supposed to be 5 minutes, right?
I expected it to be longer than the 2 seconds you gave me.
It didn't help, Wayne, that you, instead of going, oh, by the way, you're the primary suspect and I'm a suspect too, and launch into about the murder, you decided to talk about this romantic rival.
Yeah.
What's with this Greg dude?
Because
I thought you loved me.
Because I was playing up my vice of pride.
Yeah, no, that was good.
I was playing the character, and then what happened is, of course, Chris comes. My sire bolts. There's this other human character in the room, and everybody takes off after my sire.
Yes.
And then...
Except for the cleanup crew.
Except for the cleanup crew, which we pass running down the hall. And then, as a character and a player, I said, that human guy is still back in the room, and I didn't get back fast enough to prevent him being executed.
Because that's what they were cleaning up.
That's what they were cleaning up. That was the cleanup crew. And I had set this up as a character... Because the whole point of the game is kind of, can you resist being a monster? And I said, my character hasn't killed anybody yet. In his 2 years of being vampire, he's never actually killed anybody.
Yeah.
And so now he sees himself as being directly related to...
Or responsible.
Or directly responsible to somebody's death.
Well, you saw Chris's character.
I saw Chris's character as responsible for not giving me enough time.
And in a sense, yeah, Chris's character was responsible.
I can pass up to that, yeah.
But I think that kind of gets into what we touched on before, where the inter-party conflict...
Is a lot higher in Vampire than...
Or the inter-party conflict is a lot higher. But actually, that's the story.
Yeah.
And I the only thing I regret about that, again, it was just the real-time experiment. Mm-hmm. It didn't work.
I like the real-time experiment. You also instituted the no-take-backs.
The no-take-backs. And both the real-time and the no-take-backs kind of fell apart pretty quick.
The tick thing, though, worked well.
The what?
The ticks you used during the Hell Knight combat, I think it was, when I ran over the guy in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good, where you kind of had a set amount of time between each tick exposure, and you were counting it down. 1, 2, 3. And different things were happening on these actions 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And I think it didn't work as well as maybe you'd hoped because mm-hmm. we didn't really realize what the counting was at the time, or at least I didn't.
Okay.
But I thought it was a really good idea, and I tried to use it in D&D, but I decided last minute to cut it. But
yeah, basically people, if you imagine like people are moving off camera, mm-hmm. like the other, there was a party of...
Outside.
Oh, he's in a rave, outside in a rave, but basically these vampires, these bad vampires, mm-hmm. went through the rave and were...
With razors, essentially.
With razors and causing all this havoc, and they were inside the building, so you couldn't see them, a lot of them. So basically the tick was basically them figuring out that you're going after their leader and them moving back to try to get back at you. So basically, it was trying to make, basically build up the race and the press for time.
Okay. I was imagining it as kind of you had a timeline of what was going to happen, and these are the points along
that. Oh, exactly.
And the timeline was, at the end of this timeline, they will be up there with you.
I see. Yeah. Anyway, it was really good. I like that. Yeah.
And I essentially left your character alone because...
I did fine.
It didn't help that you had two pacifists. I did not have you back and argued in the car whether or not to help you.
Well, then again, humanity aided. Running over a guy.
But it's all right. I ran over him. 4 or 5 times myself.
Yeah. It probably should be called Vampire the Debate. Because there was a lot of that.
The bickering.
All right. Well, thank you very much for tuning in again.
Thanks for
that wraps up Campaign Confessions Vampire. Not immediately after, but something to look forward to in the future is Campaign Confessions Changeling.
Man, I'm going to get crucified for that.
And where we talk about... no one disagrees.
Can I mysteriously be absent for that one?
Where we talk about...
it's much easier to vilify if you're not here.
Anyway. Well, I think people know how the Campaign Confessions runs if you listen to them. So it'll be about the Changing the Lost setting, which is what we're playing, as well as Wayne's actual...
Non-existent story.
So. We look forward to seeing it then. Check us out online, www.idleredhands.com, idleredhands.com. See the forums, all that other good stuff, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thanks.
Idle Red Hands, recorded in Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.